You have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter. We're going to start the third verse, and it reads, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bare them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." I take our topic today from the sixth verse where it says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man? What is man?" And that's our topic for today. What is man? It's truly, truly, truly amazing when you look out on society today. And you find there are so many men that are conflicted and they're confused about what their role is in life. I talk to young men all the time. I talk to old men. And I'm finding out that men are losing their way. They don't know their roles. They don't know their responsibilities. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing in life. As I was thinking about that, I just went and Googled and researched some things. This is from the Psychology Today website. And this is something that as I say, men now comprise barely 40% of enrolled university and college students and graduates. Men are not going to school like they once were. Used to be at one time, higher education was reserved mostly for the male. Now you find that the tide is changing. The tide is turning. As a matter of fact, it says that when it comes to master's levels educations, for instance, you as women earn 159 degrees for every 100 awarded to men. For the first time, less than 50% of law school graduates are men. In other words, there are more women in law school now, for the first time ever, than men. One other thing is said that for the first time in U.S. history, women have surpassed men and now make up more than 50% of the nation's workforce. There are more women working now than men. Surprise, surprise. And they said what happened with this last recession that we went through, they call it a he-session. Because they said that of the jobs that were lost, 80% of those jobs were men jobs. Men were more affected by this recession we went through than women. And so you find that men are being challenged. They're not going for the education as much. They're not working as much. And these are things that a lot of men used to base their life goals on. Well, I'm going to get education so I can be Dr. So-and-so or engineer so-and-so or master carpenter or master plumber. And then they say, well, you know, and I'm going to work. I'm going to be the breadwinner for my family. I'm going to be the one to take care of the family. But we're seeing now that those roles are changing. Men are not working like they once were because the jobs they normally held are no longer there. And they're feeling that the need for higher education, what's the point? They're becoming less than thrilled with it. And then you see that not only do you have these factors playing a part in the role of the man, but what you also have happened is the negative stereotyping of what a man is. According to J.R. McNamara in the book Media and the Male Identity, The Making and Remaking of Men, less than 20% of media profiles reflected positive things for men. We look at men on TV now, they're the butt of the jokes. Men are stupid. Men, they are no more than whores or whoremongers. They're cheaters. They're not being reflected in a positive light. And you can believe that it affects what we think about men, what we see being portrayed in the media. I remember one time I was in a church service. And it was a large number of people that were there. And I was asking the women, I did a little instant survey. I said, how many of you men think highly of your woman and think she's wonderful and she's the best thing for you, you're glad you have? And just about every man that was in there raised his hand up saying how much he thought of his woman and he was glad to have a wonderful woman by his side. And then I asked the question, how many women in here think that men are dogs? And every woman just about in there raised her hand up to say that she believed and thought that a man was a dog. Where are these things coming from? Where is it that men think so highly of their women and women think so little of their men? A lot of this has to do with the negative images that have been portrayed, especially when you're a young lady, never been married, never had a boyfriend, but you still think men are dogs. Based on what? The negative stereotypes that are being projected out there. And that's affecting what women think about men and how women tend to respond to men. And not only women, but the children. Because they say the hand rocks the cradle, which tends to be the woman. She's the one influencing the children as what they think about a man. So I've heard women say, well, I'm going to get my own because I don't know a man taking care of me because a man may not be there tomorrow. So women don't know how to expect the man to be a provider for them because they've always believed in the back of their head that man could leave me at any moment. He'll find somebody else. He'll cheat on me. And so a woman from the beginning oftentimes don't give the man the respect. And the man think, well, that's what you think of me sometimes, then that's what I'll do. Guy Garcia, author of The Decline of Men, says, how the American male is tuning out, giving up, and flipping off his future. Man is just giving up. Man is now. And the thing that got me now is that the UN just passed a resolution on this week. With the United States backing. As a matter of fact, the United States was pushing it. The UN just passed a resolution that they recognize gays, lesbians, and homosexuals throughout the world. So what that means now, that anybody discriminates against one of those, then you could possibly suffer the wrath of the UN. What is all of this doing? Men are being conflicted about their roles. Am I a man or am I a woman? Am I supposed to be the provider in the house or should the woman? I had a guy I know that got his master's degree saying he's on now raising the twins being Mr. Mom. I let the woman go out there and work and I'll stay home. All of these roles, men don't know what their role is now. Am I supposed to be the breadwinner or should the woman bring the bread in? As the saying goes, it used to be the saying on TV, I can take the bacon, I can make the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and serve it to you too. That's what the women are doing. They're going to make it, they're baking it, and then they're serving it. What is the role of the man? And if we don't know what the role is the man, then we're going to find out that society is going to be the worst for it. As I was reading the book of Hebrews here in the second chapter, and this is a passage of scripture, I think a lot of times that we read it, but we misinterpret who is being referred to. Here in Hebrews, the second chapter, it says this right here. I think I'm going to say that, but I'm in Hebrews, second chapter. But one in a certain place, on the sixth verse, said, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? And some folks start thinking, well, you know what? He's talking about Christ Jesus. Realize the seventh verse. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. When you go back and read the book of Genesis, the second chapter, it's talking about Adam. Every animal that was, God say, Adam, you name it. God told Adam, Adam, I'm putting all these things under you. You are to have dominion over them. And when God made Adam, guess what? God was satisfied. God made Adam, God was pleased. The Bible said God made Adam, and God said everything God made was good. God looked down and saw Adam was lonely. God didn't say he was lonely. God saw Adam was lonely. And so God then made woman, which was Eve. But God was satisfied with Adam just being there with him. Adam, just me and you, Adam. Adam, whatever you want, Adam. Adam is just the two of us. And that was the way it was intended from the beginning, for God to be in perfect relationship with man. The reason why men are conflicted now and don't know their role now is because some men have lost touch with God. I heard this thing the other day. I read this thing and I thought it was so funny. So I'm saying it, not to say that I agree with it, but I'm saying it to make the point. They said the woman is sitting in a bar and she bats her eye at the man. The man said, uh-oh, because I look good or because I smell good or because I got muscles, I got this woman's attention. So the man said, I'm going to go and buy this woman a drink. So he buy, just off a little bat of the eye, the man go buys the woman a drink. He thinks, okay, I'm the Mac Daddy. I got this thing going on. So he buys the woman a drink. And then, he said, from buying the drink, she said, okay, all right, then I give you my number. You can take me out to dinner. The man takes the woman out to dinner, thinking, see, it's my game that I got going. This woman, I mean, she don't know, I'm just wrapping her around my finger. I'm taking this woman, I'm getting out, I got dinner, because I know what's coming up next. I've taken her out to dinner. And say, then, it proceeds to take them to the bedroom. And the man say, I've conquered this. I've gotten everything I want out of this thing. And the woman goes home smiling. He don't know. He just gave me what I wanted. He bought me a free drink, bought me a free dinner, and men don't get it. They think that they are conquering something. The woman said, no, I just lulled you into my trap. I'd had to pay for that drink. I'd had to pay for that meal. We must understand our roles. And we don't understand it and because men don't know how they've been created in God. A man thinks that it's his talent, so his skills, or the way he learned, what I was learning when I came up, how Smokey Robinson used to rap. They think it's those smooth lines that's giving them an advantage, and it's not. The Bible in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve failed, God told Eve, Eve, your desire shall be to your husband. That woman wants that man more than a man wants the woman. But because we're out of relationship with God, well, they're whining and dining, spending, and still we think we've done something that would have been ours anyway if we would have been in the will of God. And the sad thing about it, I see these guys on the street corner walk around with their pants, drop down, who don't work, hang on the corner, and the women come out and picking them up, driving them around. They know! They know what the Word of God is saying. We're the ones that don't know. Well, you know, I'm the Mac dad. I'm going to whine her. I'm going to dine her. That means they ain't going to pay nothing on her. And they don't. And we go run. I mean, I've seen them. The guy picks up the telephone and calls, doesn't have a car, doesn't still stay with mom, and the woman got her own place and her own car, and she goes driving, running to pick him up. Who's going to pay for the meal? She's going to pay for it. She's the one working. That's the Word of God in a perverted way, but it's still the Word of God. And see, men don't know their role. Men don't know who they are. And the reason why we don't know, because men have lost touch with their Creator. In the book of Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, it says this right here. It said that the head of the woman is the man. Now, remember I was telling you about before that men now, I mean women now are getting more advanced degrees. More women now are in college than men. And I also said now that they said this last recession affected men more than it affected anyone else. Men were more affected by this last recession than the ones. But listen to what the Word of God says right here in the book of Ephesians, 5th chapter. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, what the author here in the book of Ephesians did is this right here. He said that as Christ is the head, so is the man the head. Now, a lot of folks say when we get married, it's a 50-50 relationship. You do 50, I do 50. It's 50-50. How many of us in here are in a 50-50 relationship with Christ Jesus? The Bible says as Christ is the head, so is the man the head. There is no 50-50 relationship. Guess what, men? The responsibility is on you. Right. It's your responsibility to pay the bills. It's your responsibility to make sure the family is fed. It's your responsibility to make sure the children know who God is. It's your responsibility to take the children to church. It's your responsibility to be a protector for the family. You're the head. And what we do, we push the responsibility off on the woman. So she's now out there working, cleaning the house, taking care of the children, consoling little David when he's getting hurt at school, consoling Sally when her boyfriend talked trash to her. It's the woman doing it, and the man is nowhere to be found but playing his video game. We must understand and realize the role God calls you as head. And check this out. Catch this. Nowhere did it say when the man is the head that is dependent upon what kind of advanced degree that he has. Nowhere does it say that the man is a head when he makes more money than the woman. Just being born a man God has invested that in you headship. And so men come, I don't know if I'm a female or a male. I don't know who I want to be. God knows what he's called you to be. God invested that in you the minute you were born. And see, a lot of times, see, the show this here when we said this verse before. In the book of Jeremiah, first chapter. When God looked down, said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I knew thee. And sanctified thee and called thee out to be a prophet to the nation. Before Jeremiah was born, God said, you know what? I'm going to send you down to the earth as a male so you can have leadership ability. So you can have leadership skill. That's why I'm going to send you down to the earth. What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? I know the thoughts that I have for you. God knows when he places us in the earth. God knows our reason for being here. But men have lost touch with God and they don't know their purpose. Men think about my reason is to hang out down the corner where my pants drop down. Men think, well, my reason is to go out there and try to have as many women as I can possibly get. Let me tell you this right here. I was at the men's conference on yesterday, and I heard it say it twice, so I know it must be a fact. See, men are so conflicted about their sexuality, their prowess as a man, that a lot of them are doing crazy things to prove to themselves they're a man, rather than understand, God, if your words, I'm a man, I'm a man. I don't care what anybody says, but I'm still a man. I heard the guy say, I said, because I said that most guys who I know are homosexuals, everyone I've talked to is a homosexual, said he was abused as a child. Every single one I've talked to. I'm not saying I talked to every homosexual, but everyone that I've talked to said he was abused as a child. It was at the men's conference yesterday. One of the pastors stood up and said, you know what? I came up in a liquor house. He said, I came up in this liquor house and we sold liquor. And I said, I was selling drugs and dealing drugs and doing drugs. And he said, but you know what? I made up my mind. I would go through every woman I could go through. He said he ran through women like water. Had so many of them. He said, got to the point that even at one point in time, he even didn't even have any desire because it was so easy. And he had so many of them. And he said this right here too. But he said, but you know what happened? He said that when I was young coming up in that liquor house, one of the men molested him. And he said that when I'd gone through all these women, he said they were still in the back of my mind because he said, I got to prove that I'm a man. So he said, that's why he went after so many women trying to prove I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. Because he didn't know that when you were born and you looked down between your legs, you saw that you were a man. It doesn't matter what society says or what they think or what somebody told you, what makes you a man. The minute you were born with your genitalia, that told you that you were a man. But he didn't know that because he didn't know God's word. So he felt that the only way that I can prove my manhood by running through all these women. Because he was trying to fight back what happened to him as a child, trying to prove himself. And I heard one other guy tell me the same thing yesterday. He said that he was 13 years old, gave his life to the Lord. And he said that one of the things he found out that at that time he gave his life to the Lord, the men in the church looked like they were feminine. He said he didn't want to be associated with that crowd. So when he said what he did, he went out. So folks would know he was doing it openly too. So folks would know he wasn't like that. He was taking over all the young girls in the church, all the women, so they would know, hey, I'm not like that group, but still saying he's saved. What I'm trying to say, when you lose touch with God, you ought to try to do things to prove how much of a man you are. They've said that most men would much rather die from prostate cancer than give up their manhood. Why? Because we fall into the lies of what a man is. We don't believe what the word of God says. God's word said you are a man. It doesn't matter about your wealth. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter how many women you have on your arm. But it's simply knowing that that's the way I created you. And God created us to have worship with him, have fellowship with him, to be linked up with him, to be in his will. Sad thing today is that a lot of the reason why these children now behaving the way they're behaving now, because the dad is nowhere in sight.
talk to some young folk, don't even know who the daddy is. And the daddies don't realize just how important a role they play in their children's life. I used to work with the Youth Services Advisory Board. And the Youth Services Advisory Board, they had a statistic, 95% of the children you see out there in prison, locked up, or involved in the juvenile justice system, 95% of them, the daddy is nowhere in their life. Fathers, you play an important part. And let me tell you this right here. It used to be when we were coming up, and see, we don't do this stuff now. When we were coming up, is that if the parent died, grandma and granddad would step in. They played the role of mom and dad. Or uncle would go and say, well, I'll be the daddy for the children because the dad may have died in war. I'll go and I step in and I'll play that role. We don't do that anymore. I can raise a child by myself. No, you can't. These folks talking about two mamas and two daddies. How is that going to work? That child got comes to realize, no, wait a minute, both of you the same thing. How can you possibly brought me into the world? The child is not stupid. But we're going to pretend that the child is stupid. And the child is saying, I'm looking for my mom. I'm looking for my dad. Because I realize something that mom gives me that dad can't. There's something dad gives me that mom can't. I need that balance. And because the young folks don't have that balance in their life, you wonder, well, where did that boy come from? And that's why we as the church got to be willing to pick up the banner. We got to fill the role when the dad is not there. Then we got to become, fill the role for the dad. When the mother's not there, we got to fill the role for the mother. Folks giving up on these children when it's really the responsibility of the parents to say, I'm going to be my brother's keeper. Amen. Ephesians say that the husband is the head of the wife. And then you go to Ephesians 6, where it talks about honoring your parents. And the fourth verse said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I remember one time I had a little discussion with my son. And the thing came back from him talking about, you're not supposed to provoke your children to wrath. But there was some time, my son, I heard him say it today, beat that child, he won't die. That's Bible. That's Bible. It's in the word. And ye fathers, Ephesians 6 and 4, provoke not your children to wrath. Let me tell you this here. Take a pause. I said, be that child, he won't die. Most fathers don't have any problem with that at all. But mothers will protect and defend that child. I remember sometimes to spank our children, had to do it out of the presence of my wife. Because she did not like it. And see, that's what's happening. Anything the Bible tells us to do, there's a reason why the Bible says it. God knows it, as he told Jeremiah. Before I formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I know what you're all about, Jeremiah, and I know what you need. So we think, well, this pop psychologist said, don't beat your child. All right. I'm going to try to believe what God's word says. Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How many fathers sit down and read the Bible with your child? How many fathers sit down and pray with your child? The Bible is saying it right here. Fathers, this is your role. If you teach your children about God, they won't be getting locked up in prison. If you teach your children about God, you don't have to worry about them brandishing a firearm and shooting and killing somebody like I read this past week. Young man got upset, killed three young ladies, and killed himself. For what? We must understand that God has given us a commission as fathers to get back in touch with him and to get in touch with him to share with our children who God is. Notice how God spoke everything into existence. The Bible said, you know, God spoke it and it came to existence. God didn't get a hammer and a nail and a saw and put his hand to it. He just simply spoke it. And the world was created. Notice this. Go back to your own home. You see how man was made in the image of God. Because God said man was made in his image. To show you that we're still in the image of God as man. Go back to your house. Have a father there and have a mother there. An experiment. And mother say, daughter, sit down. Son, sit down. And watch what the response is. Then let the man come in and say, boy, sit down. A little bit bass in it. And see what the response is. That very same voice that brought about the creation, God said, that same voice is in you as a male and a man. And we're giving it away. Giving it away. We're giving away the authority God has placed within us as males. And how do we give it away? When we don't link up with God. When we don't find ourselves serving God, worshiping God. We're telling the world, we're telling Satan, take the gift that God has given to me. You know, come to the house and Bob said, I told that boy to do this. I told that girl to do that. And Bob was talking. Y'all sit down. Y'all be quiet. Y'all sit down. I said, you better sit down. When my daddy, when we were young, but we've been in the house with 12 of us now. We've been in the house cutting flip, turning flip, doing all these kind of things. But we know my dad on Saturday morning was clean up day. My dad wanted a clean house. And my dad, as soon as the car hit the driveway, coming in, that house got clean, lickety split fast. I mean, everybody get the bed, serve the floor. I mean, before you get from the driveway to the front door of the house, we'll clean that house. Because we knew that if he got in there and the house wasn't clean, it wasn't going to be pretty. But I'm saying, that's the kind of authority. And the thing I'm saying, when you walk in the authority God's given to you as a man, you don't have to beat your child till his eyes are black. You don't have to break that child's arm. All you need to do is simply walk in that authority. A man does not mind saying, I told you to do it, and I'm not changing my mind. Women, I find, are so easily manipulated, especially by their boys and their sons. But mom, can I stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning? School, I mean, I go to school every morning. And I've never missed school before. Can I stay up to 1 o'clock? Mom, you know, I know them greens may look good, but I want some ice cream instead. I eat the greens tomorrow. Mom, just this one time, Mom. And they manipulate the mothers. Because understand what I just said, especially the boys. There's an authority that boys have within them that God has placed within them as a man. And this thing I found out. Mothers that have daughters, those daughters are toeing the line. The daughters are toeing the line. They said, why is it that the mothers bring up their daughters so much more stricter than they do their boys? Because the boy has that authority that God's placed within them. That mother can't override the order that God has set in the universe. The man is the head. So that's why the sons are so easy to manipulate their mothers. And they think, nah, that boy ain't manipulating me. Or like, ask him what he wants and when he wants to get it. And you tell me who's been manipulated. But I've seen it, though. When it comes to the daughters, those daughters, they walk on a tightrope, boy. The mother says, I do this, I do that, and the daughter. I said, well, they do the same thing with the boy. I mean, the thing got me, I look around the neighborhood, see the boys on the porch smoking cigarettes, the mama, they're cutting the grass. Big grown man, I said, wait a minute, what? Because what I'm trying to say is the authority. And the thing that God's trying to let us know, that for us as men, we need to get back in touch with God. We need to fall right back into the road God has called us to. It's not the woman's responsibility to lead the household. It's the man's responsibility. And the reason why women are leading, because the men are not there. Amen. You can't blame the women for picking up the slack. You can't blame the women making sure the children are taken care of. You can't blame the women for making sure bills are being paid. You can't blame the women for making sure things are going right. But then you have to say blame the man when he's not stepping into his role. But I tell you this here, though. Power is very addictive. It's hard to give that power up once you've had it. Amen. I've seen instances where men have gotten saved. Want to do the right thing, fall back into that role as the head in the house that they should have had in the first place. And the woman said, I'm on this throne now. I'm not ready to get up. I'm not ready to abdicate. And so the woman said, wait a minute, you go back out there where you were, and I'm doing fine now. I got everything. The kingdom is running fine. I don't need you coming here interrupting my kingdom. But understand this. If you don't allow it to happen, the kingdom will come crashing down around you. Why? Because God has established an order. In the book of Hebrews, all those things, you go back there, read Hebrews, he said that all the creation is put under subjection. And that's the man. That's the man's role. That's what God has done. What we're trying to do, we're trying to undermine the role that God's placed for man. And so what it means is that women, got to humble yourself. Young ladies, got to humble yourself. Boys, your children, got to humble yourself. To the role that God placed the man in. But also men, you got to step up to the plate. You can't expect, well, now, I'm the head of this house, and you're not leading them to Christ. I'm the head of this house, you're not telling them about God. I'm the head of this house, and you are not praying. Man, you have got to step up to the plate. What is man? Amen. What is man? What is man? Amen. I don't care what you may think you like. Well, I was raised by women, so I'm thinking a little bit thin. I don't care what you think. God knows what he made. Amen. And you need to live out what God has made you to be. And what God has made you has nothing to do with your education. Has nothing to do with how much money you make. Let me say this right here. I was thinking about this. And someone can correct me later on if they want to. Because a lot of times folks, men start thinking, well, I ain't got no job. Well, what am I going to do? I just sit home and drink. Because, man, I'm just so down and distressed and depressed about what's happening. And someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But I started thinking about all the creations known to mankind. All the creations known to mankind that I know of. The computer that we love to use, the telephone that we love to use, the trains, the automobile. All the creations, the airplane that I know of. Guess who created them? Every single one of those creations was by man. I can't think of any major creation that was created by a woman. And if someone can come in and tell me something, maybe the hair cutting products, maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. But you can think of one, come back and let me know. Why am I saying this? I'm saying that whenever you find that your job has run out, or you find out you don't have money, God has given you the ability to be creative. God has given you the ability to go out there and make ends meet. God has given you the man the ability. But the only way you can realize that, the only way that you get in touch with your Father.
Amen.
What is man? What is man? Do you men truly know what God has invested in you? On this Father's Day, do you know the power and the authority that God has invested in you? And if you do know it, then step up to the plate and assume the role God has called you to. Let us stand.